Welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. Maddox and I are back on American soil, coming back from the biggest tournament ever in the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, the Western Hemisphere. EUSC was crazy. We'll talk about that. We'll get into our runs and kind of the deck choices we made and why we made them and kind of our finishes. Maddox had the fortune, as he always does. He didn't hit many Zards. I hit more Zards. I lost. That's how it goes. I will run through that a little bit more. We'll talk about our meta predictions that we did before London. Review them. Some of us did better and some of us did really bad. We'll get to that later.
Definitely me. Just throwing that out there.
we'll review the results in the day two deck list, and each of us will show off at least one list that we think is very interesting that made day two. The world's dates finally got announced. We'll talk about Hawaii and some tips for travel to Hawaii. And then we'll jump into kind of like Orlando discussion. Orlando is literally this weekend. This podcast comes out a day and a half before it. So while you're traveling down on Friday, turn it on, listen to it, and just call us clowns on Twitter. Great. Have a good time.
Yeah, and if you listen to this after Orlando, you can be like, wow, they were terrible and got this wrong. Or yeah. We say, wow, you're so right. Either way, write
exactly.
Us on Twitter about it.
Either way, it's a hashtag Beach Court win. all right, so let's just before we get started, I just want a huge thank you to everybody that viewed our last episode on YouTube and even listened to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you listen to podcasts. The support was overwhelming. I had a lot of people come up to me at USC saying, hey, I listen to your podcast. And so I just really appreciate the support. And Maddox, I don't know if you had any of that happen to you in London.
Yeah, no, definitely
well.
Had some people shout us out, or people that, you know, saw the playmat and then kind of recognized that they handed out a lot of V-Star markers. So, yeah, good to see y'all. So
yeah. Yeah, so super awesome. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody because we can't do it without you. If you don't keep doing those things and giving us support, I mean, we won't do it. But if you keep doing that, we'll keep doing this because it's fun. So hit the subscribe button on YouTube. We really appreciate it. And it's very thankful.
And in case you just met us at UIC and you're not sure who we are, I'm Maddox Corcoran, joined as always by Parker Greenwald and our host, the fantastic Eric Ridgway.
You're right. I introduced myself. I don't think I introduced either you because, you know, you need no introduction. You're top 64, so it's fine. Anyways, let's jump into it, Maddox. So I just alluded to it, top 64 with Future Hands. You and I kind of worked on a list really hard before EUIC. I think we came down to a one card difference. We couldn't come up to, you know, to reach a conclusion on that one card. You want to talk through that process? And
yeah, I mean, so
tournament.
So for the first off, right, I mean, you know, Eric has been on Future Hands kind of for a while, you know, probably like a month leading up to EUIC. During that time, you know, I think it's important to not like fully lean into one deck a little bit, especially when like testing partner is very much testing one. So I was still trying to test a bunch of different decks and then kind of give examples to test into. I did spend some reps with it. You know, we were trying out the Iron Treads package. We were trying out a bunch of different pieces for the Future Hands deck. Ultimately, I think we came to a really, really solid list. Eric and I had a one card difference, which I think was just like a different like flavor of playing. I opted for the 14th Lightning. Eric opted for the Iron Bundle. Iron Bundle is still a pretty broken card. Just being able to search for that Gust, which I think, you know, is relevant to a lot of matchups. Honestly, I was just thinking like, I think, you know, success wise, if I can just hit my generators more often with a little bit more energy, you know, the bundle, and we kind of found some times in testing where like going for an early bundle play was sometimes to the detriment because your board wasn't set up as well. So really just, you know, really kind of wanted to simplify the Pokemon lineup and just keep it where it was and say, hey, you know, 14 Lightning, seen a lot of success on online tournaments, things like that. Let me stick with that. Eric, I don't know if you have anything to add on, you know, again, yeah. You're doing a lot of the legwork for the list, came to the spicy four Iono, which was like,
yeah,
so
I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I figured out super early was that, you know, and I think Guardy used this forever. Iono Countercatcher is just like completely broken. And so we just kind of feasted on people not drawing well, including myself. So that's why other people did well. And we just wanted a lot of supporters. I think we ended up cutting Treads very, very late. you know, I thought the treads was needed for the Chin Pao matchup, which, you know, Maddox, you lost a one, I lost a one. I beat one. Did you beat one?
I was 1-1 against Chen
Yeah,
Pao.
So we were both 1-1 against Chen Pao. The treads does kind of auto the matchup. I mean, it's very, very good into the matchup. But, you know, over the course of a tournament, maybe you only hit it twice, right? And so does having those two cards make your generators worse, make, you know, other things worse? Is it worth it? Does it swing the arc matchup enough to make it worth it? And we were finding that we could still win the arc matchup without it. So we were able to cut it late and, you know, save a couple cards. And those two cards were Psychic Double Boss. I think that's kind of those are the four cards we put in very late into the process. And we found that Double Psychic Double Boss just autos the Lax matchup. Like, you just sit there like in your sleep and you just win the matchup pretty much.
Yeah, I
the,
mean,
the only way you lose is they get three crowns out. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the Pidgeot control as well, the crown being in like a viable attacker to put pressure on the Pidgeys was so huge. I played two Pidgeot controls over the course of my EYC run, and beat both matchups pretty handily. So.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, my nine rounds were Chen Pao. This is some roulette. This is where you talk about the format of where we are, and this is where Pokemon is right now, and it's sad, but it is where it is. I had Chen Pao, round one. You know when you're sitting there, Maddox, right? And I know Parker, you have this too. You're sitting there and you're like, all right, go ahead and set up. Okay, we set up. Great. All right, now let's wait. You know, let's wait.
Wait for opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Wait
Like,
for all the stream to start.
10
wait
to 15
for the player
minutes
announcement.
Of waiting, minimum. And meanwhile, the whole time I'm looking at my hand going second, and I'm like, yeah, this is a touch pass. This is a great way to start the EUIC. So yeah, I attach pass against Chen Pao. He gets turn two donk, and I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go to game two, and I lose a close one. So lost Chen Pao. Hit Raging Bolt, Sandy Shocks round two. Not something I had on my bingo list round two at EUIC, but that's what happens when you lose round one. Anyways, I had to try to figure it out. I squeaked out a tie. I would have won it had we finished game three, because I figured out how to win it in game two. Beat a Goldengo round three, hit Lost Box Charizard EX. The deck still exists, apparently. Round four.
That's okay. They didn't draw well, right?
Yeah, no, they definitely, you know, game one made a good play towards the end of the game to force me out of my strategy that I had to do. So I had to pivot and say, okay, arm press, Iona to one. And my opponent found Rare Candy Charizard EX off of Iona to one. Without any courses in deck. So that was great. That was really good.
You have a good deck.
Yeah, you have a good deck. Yeah, exactly. And then I lost against the Charizard EX, just kind of, you know, how it goes. That matchup's not great. And then I beat the Chen Pao with the Chen Pao player I played round six had a 1-1 Goldengo EX in his Chen Pao deck.
That's cooking.
That, I mean, honestly, it's not bad, right? You think about
did
it.
You play,
it's,
did you play hands too, or no?
No, he didn't play. He cut hands for
okay,
it. Yeah,
for
yeah.
It.
So
Okay.
he cut hands for it. I mean, it's not terrible, right? Like, one superior
it's
energy
saucy,
equals
yeah.
240.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have Baxcalibur rely on a Baxcalibur in play.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah. If they bully your backs, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he was saying. He was like, "Hey, like when they bully my backs, I got this backup attacker." And I was like, "All right, you know, I don't hate it."
I don't hate it either.
Yeah, and then I hit an Ancient Box round seven, so I beat that one. So we're currently sitting at 3-4-1.
three, three, one.
So we're still in it for points, which is what I need to qualify for Worlds. I only need 11 more points, so I'm still grinding it out, trying to. And I hit a Charizard EX round eight. And my opponent went start Charmander, bench Pidgey, Turo the Charmander, bench the Charmander, call for family, and then turn two without any supporters, just double Rare Candy Zard. And I was like, all right, you win.
You just so, wanted it more.
So you just win. So I lost that one. And then I beat an Ancient Box round nine, but it didn't matter because I wasn't at points at that time. But yeah, I mean, the deck is very, very strong, and I spent a lot of time into it. Max, you got to play 6 more rounds than I did. You want to kind of just run through quickly your 15?
Yeah, for sure. I just think it's funny, just recalling, again, the start of your tournament, where, like, start of my tournament was going second against a Charmander. Charizard player goes, lone Charmander, attach, pass. And I go, donk. I'm like, okay, hey, stole a game off Charmander. Stole a game off Charizard. Lose the next two. Again, very, very tough matchup. I made a slightly, like, suboptimal play, I think, in game 3, where I missed an energy to amp. So I think that kind of cost me ultimately. But I played two Charizards throughout the tournament. Each time I played a Charizard, I was rewarded. I lost, but then I was rewarded with a Lugia immediately afterwards. So round 2, I hit a Lugia, beat them real quick. And then, let's see. And then actually here I started going a little bit of a run. It was actually kind of a weird mind state where I think I was kind of tired from the night before. Was kind of still like growing in confidence with the deck. Having such a tough Charizard matchup was definitely kind of, you know, defeating me a little bit. But, you know, really, like, I think probably around 4 or 5, you know, after every round, I just started putting in the AirPods and just literally shout out to Spotify's hype motivation mix. They're just like blasting that through my ears type of thing, like getting like amped up, like ready to go. So I'm actually able to win 5 in a row. After a round 1 loss, I actually played a bunch of different decks all throughout. I beat the Lugia, like you mentioned. I beat a Chen Pao. I played against an Arctina, tough matchup, but was able to beat that. I played against an Arc Vulpix Aerodactyl. Was able to go and pull off the 260 arm press KO the Aerodactyl when they really have any other attackers set up, and they weren't playing Max Belt, so I'm in pretty good shape there. Let's see, round. Let's see, and I think I beat a team.
Was he playing Prime Catcher?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Let's see. So beat that, and then I tied. Actually, I think I beat Atina for 5 in a row, and then I tied to Atina.
You tied to Atina.
Yeah, and then I tied to Atina, which. Really was, I lost game 1. Game 2, I kind of had no business winning. He had 2 Team the V-Star set up. But I think energy was a bit of a concern based on the way that they played. So I was able to kind of claw that game back, which felt good. And then kind of put myself into a spot where it says, okay, hey, you know, 5-1, you know, didn't want to tie here. But, good tie for a tough matchup. Get paired into a Pidgeot control. And again, you know, just learning how strong the double boss and psychics were into that matchup was able to, I mean, I won the set 2-0 and 25 minutes, so went very well. They wasn't able to set up very well, so now I'm 6-1-1, feeling very good shape, right, saying, hey, I'm locked in for day 2. I have the chance to go 7-1-1, just put myself in a really strong position to make a deep run in day 2. I think for this is round 9. I was just kind of, I think I was just a little bit like mentally fried at this point. I played against Chen Pao, Alan Zhu, who, you know, has been on an absolute tear this past quarter. I think actually like just missed stipend but pretty much all of his, and getting his invite pretty much entirely since LAIC. So I play against him. Game 1, I'm bricking, but then I also take a DPL forgetting to take a prize card after doing accelerating peak. I think just brain's a little fried there. And then game 2, I miss an attacking turn and just fall behind. So I lose that game. Despite feeling pretty comfortable in the Chen Pao matchup, I did some testing later the night before with Jared Grimes, shout out to him, on just kind of, you know, kind of perfecting the lines, and then him realizing like, this matchup kind of sucks for Chen Pao if it's played right, if you don't have bundle type of thing. So good overall, and enter day 2-6-2-1. From there, I hit another Pidgeot control, so I'm able to win game 1 in about 35 minutes. I actually make a little bit of a misplay by taking prizes aggressively early, because at this point the control player's kind of line is to say, hey, I'm going to go Iono and just try to chain Charizard type of thing. Had a Silene double tails that I think, you know, prevented a combo piece for them to be able to go back. But by the time, you know, game 2 didn't finish, but at that point in the game state, the control player had 2 prizes left, I had 3. So I was a little bit of a disadvantage there. I was able to win that set.
Wait, what? There, the control player had how many prizes?
Yeah, they had taken 4 prizes.
All?
Well, because I went, because I was able to go, I think I KO'd the Rotom, I forget the exact line that I took, but KO'd the Rotom, and then played Magma Basin, which he hadn't revealed in game 1, so he was Magma Basin, Charizard, attached double turbo, attack, I'm like, oh shoot. So I'm able to KO it back, but then just the same thing, like, again, right afterwards, I'm like okay, Iono, I'm like trying to disrupt him from that, missed a Silene flip, which I think he needed to get a piece back type of thing. But it kind of got scary real quick.
There's not many times you can Iono a control player down to less than 6.
100%. Yeah, it was definitely a little bit spooky. And then in classic EUIC fashion, I hit a Charizard, lost to them 2-0, and then hit a Lugia right after that, beat them 2-0. Had a couple of interesting decks I played against after that. I played against a played against this is the right, so that I was 8-3. Yeah, so that's 8-3. So I played against a Lost Box deck that was very heavily tech to beat the Lugia matchup, including Maraidon, Rotom V for extra draw, Raikou V, and Oranguru V to help KO the Ampivarian, yeah, with the grab tools as well as KO Iron Hands in one shot. So very interesting list. And then after that, played and so was able to beat that. I think just being able to take out the two prizers with my two prizers, take three on them, it was kind of just blended too well to that. Played against a Gardevoir EX, Bayonet EX deck. Kind of cool setup. Again, still has a trouble with dealing with Iron Hands. Trying to have to rely on Iono plus Countercatcher, Screamtail spam. We had a lot of supporters and a lot of ways to draw out and able to set up the board pretty strongly. So didn't have much of an issue there. That puts me at 31 match points heading into round 15. Kind of looking at how things were going to go, 32 was a lock for top 64. I just opted to take the intentional draw since I knew my resistance was pretty poor and wouldn't have a great chance to even bubble in the top 16. So when, of course, hindsight's 2020, but looking back in hindsight, that was a good call. I would have missed top 64. Sorry, I'd have missed top 32. Sorry, I would have missed top 16 had I won even. And if I had lost, I wouldn't have made money at all. So I'm just locked in the top 64. Locked in a couple money to cover the trip.
Couple bands, dog.
Couple bands to cover the trip.
Bands and make a dance. Bands and make a dance.
So trip paid for. Really just a nice time. Again, definitely had the fortunate side of matchup roulette. Again, shout out to Eric.
Where were the Lugias, man?
They didn't show up. They knew it was a bad call. It was only 9%. I can't believe someone would ever predict Lugia at 17%.
Who did that?
It was for the content, I swear.
Good content, yeah. But yeah, Parker, what about you? What I mean, I know you didn't go to Europe, but what, like, it starts at like 4 a.m. here, stream. So like, what was your weekend looking like on Friday and Saturday following the tournament, watching the tournament, starting to think through your Orlando deck, things like that?
I woke up fairly early both those days. I was just saying, Friday, I was scrambling to like on my phone, like, yo, what's the records? And I'm like looking, I'm like scrolling down, I'm like, Eric's
RK9,
like,
yeah,
1-2-1. I'm like, yeah, what is happening, bro? But yeah, no, it was definitely fun. Like the meta is like wide open, like we expected. Basically, there's tons and tons of decks. 273 people in day two. That is absurd. But yeah,
has there ever been a spot, I think there maybe once, that like a day two is bigger than 256?
Maybe Charlotte. Remember, actually,
I didn't think so, but I guess there's a chance.
I think Charlotte was
the previously
Charlotte
the biggest.
Was 220.
Yeah, some people bubbled in from 256, 6-3.
Okay.
Yes, I think maybe this is the first time there was ever a tournament that had a day two of more than 256.
That's wild.
Disgusting.
Well, it's even more disgusting for, let's roll down, look at the names.
Oh, yeah. The,
Sam Shen.
Yeah, Sam Shen was a casualty of that.
Who else? Anyone else down here that we know?
How can you make day two and get top 5-12? Like they need to do something with the points there.
Yeah, they got. We know that. We've been saying that.
I know. All right.
Anyway, sorry. Continue with what you did too. Was looking like
you're good. Well, during day one, I was watching. So is you two and then McKinley over there. And every round, I was like, oh shit, like Addicts McKinley, they're tearing it up. I know. I think McKinley was 6-2 and took the ID, which was just honestly. At an ICE.
Yeah, it makes sense at ICE.
I think so, but like maybe at a regional, you thug it out and play it, but like.
Yeah, I mean, him getting to 256 was, pretty helpful for him. So I think just taking that to have a better chance of that and saying, okay, if I make day two and I win, I'd have to check the numbers. But I mean, the people that missed probably had to go like 0-6 or like, 101. I'm not 1x1. I'm not sure. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of rounds where McKinley and I had the same record. So I was worried where it's like, hey, he's playing Lugia, I'm playing Iron Hands. So I was like, try not to line up. So type of thing. I was like, don't want to have to do you like that.
But I will. But yeah, quick congratulations to one of our own McKinley Freeman for making day two with Lugia. He switched to it pretty late, and it was a good decision for him. So
It worked out
Paid
well.
off.
Yeah, it
Dealt
paid
with the
off.
Charizard in the room, farmed him.
Yeah.
Got day
It
two.
just does beat Charizard if you set up.
For the most part,
If.
yeah.
If is the word. Yeah, correct.
Wishing you many Ultra Ball double chops for all you Lugia players out there.
I tell you what, the one guy I played last night, every turn one, if you're going double chops, I'm bruh, chill. All right, so let's look. I'm actually very concerned. All right, Sam Shen went 6-5-4. So went
3-3.
oh
Oh, three
oh
three.
yeah, he
That
went
was.
oh 3-3.
Yeah. So I
So we
think
got
winning two games is what locks in probably your 256.
your 255, 256, 7-4-1. So just winning
One.
one pretty close to locked
Wait,
it
seven
in.
four one. They
Dropped.
dropped.
Yeah, he dropped and got 256.
Wow.
Then somebody at 7-7-1 missed.
Ouch. That doesn't
Dude,
seem right.
yeah, it doesn't seem
Ouch.
right. I agree. There's another person, 7-5-2, dropped and got 256. Maybe the strat was the win one and drop.
Go enjoy London.
Then your resistance is young. You only
Yeah,
got
you
one
got
person in your resistance. You hope they
oh,
do
geez.
well.
Parker,
I
were you any of
know.
the cups this past weekend?
Was I at any cups? No.
Okay.
Sadly, I was not.
Unfortunate. Hey, all good. We'll get to the next one.
I was gonna go to the Wokey Pokey Cup, but it fell under the same date as Gavin's wedding. So
Oh,
obviously
yeah.
I went to Gavin's
Yeah.
wedding over
Congratulations, Gavin.
the cup. Yes, if you're watching this, Gavin.
Married man. Moving on. All right, let's look at our meta prediction reviews. So I will recap what everyone chose afterwards, but the actual results for the day one meta share, Charizard EX topped the chart at 22%. Chen Pao was second at 12.7%. Lugia was third at 9.06%. Arctina came fourth at 7.98, Future 6.78, and Lost Tina 6.32. First off, impressions on meta shares.
I guess I'm slightly surprised that Arctina was higher than Lost Tina, but I guess into a new format, it's just super solid, consistent, and like not hard to play really.
Yeah.
So like it's a good choice. But first three don't really surprise me.
Yeah, the first three don't surprise me. Just the numbers and the stark difference of the first three is what surprises me. I didn't think that Charizard would get over 20%. Obviously,
Yeah,
it
didn't
smashed it
either.
at 22, 23%. Also thought Lugia would be double digits for sure. Again, we saw it with success in Fukuoka. It's a comfort pick for a lot of players. I know some people are saying they're worried about the Future Hands deck. I was like, eh. I kind of knew I was playing it, but again, would it end up at 7%? You said
Yeah, so ended
Future
up
Hands.
at 6.78. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that's necessarily a reason for Lugia players to fear. But it seems like a lot of them backed off the deck, probably in favor of Charizard or some other more consistent decks like the Arctina, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, Parker, I know you said you were surprised that Arctina was higher than Lost Tina, but in your meta predictions, you had Arctina higher than Lost Tina.
Oh, did I actually? I think I also had Future, but this was when I was like really trying to make Future work, and
You were, yeah.
I am officially off that deck
Play heads.
because
Yeah.
we'll talk about the day two results. I don't think there was a single future box that made day two.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. So just quick running through our numbers. All right, so Parker, let's go through you first. You had Charizard first at 18%. You
Remember when I
had,
said that, y'all were like, there's no way it'll be
yeah,
18%.
I did say that, and you had the highest percentage, and you were right. about that. You had future number two, so you got that one wrong.
Wrong.
Number three, you had Lugia, got that one right. You said 10%. It was 9.6. So pretty close. Fourth, you had Chen Pao at 9 or 10%. So you got that one wrong. And so Chen Pao's a little bit higher. Fifth,
Yep.
you had Arctina at 8%. It came in at 7.98%. Bro new. You got that one right. And then number six, you had Lost Tina at 6.5, and Lost Tina came in at 6.3. So
Yeah.
did pretty good on percentages if you want to like go play the lotto. So if you're keeping track at home, Parker got three right. Maddox,
Boy.
are you ready?
So let's clarify this on the one side, right? I like based off where the picking happened, I had to make some, particularly strong calls to not be the same as my other co-hosts. So there will be some bold picks here, like Lugia at 17%, which was strictly for the content, not represent my personal views or the views of the Beach Corp podcast.
Are you trying to say you were trying to meta manipulate?
Actually, no. I wish I had enough influence to do that. Like I was saying, like when we're playing Future Hands, I was like, hey, yo, Azul, can you put out a video where you're like, yo, Prime Catcher's the way to play it in Zard. Don't know Maximum
Yes.
Belt. But things might happen. But then Tor did the Prime Catcher thing. So who knows? All
All
right.
right, so
Let
let's
me know what you
run through
got.
it. Here we go.
Oh,
All right,
boy.
number one, Maddox said Lugia, 17%.
Ugh.
Wrong. Maddox, number two, Maddox said Zard, 17%. It was higher,
Yeah.
but still wrong. Number three, Maddox said Chen Pao, 15.5%. Chen Pao was number two, so
That's
wrong.
12%.
It was 12, yeah. Number four, Maddox said Future at 11%. Future was at 7, and it was the fifth deck, so that was wrong. Number five, you said Lost Tina. You almost got one right here, but you said the wrong Tina. Sorry, yeah, you lost Tina 7%. So about 7% lost Tina. You got percentage close to right. Still 0 points. Wrong. Number six, you said Turbo Lost Box at 6.5%. Also wrong. So if you keep track at home, Max got a whopping 0 points out of all the predictions.
But
Womp
$2,000. So who's the real winner?
right.
Damn.
Dang. Bands make a All right, moving on to my predictions. I said Charizard number one at 16%. I was a little bit wrong in the percentage, but I got the Charizard right. Number two, I said Chen Pao 13%. It was 12.7, so it's pretty
Solid,
close to
solid.
that.
Ooh.
Pretty close to that. Nailed that one. Number three, I said Lugia at 10%. It was at 9.6, so close on that one. So that's three right so far. I said Future was going to be number four at 9.5. Future came in a lot lower, so that was wrong. Number five, I said Arctina. I said 7%. I got 7.98 is what it was. So I got that one right. And then number six, I also said Lost Tina at 7%. So if you keep track at home, I got four right. I'm the winner of this like imaginary competition that we did. I just want to call that out, but
So next time when we have a meta prediction like later today for Orlando, listen to Eric exclusively and to none of us.
correct.
Yes,
Correct.
yes.
Yes.
Unless he's wrong this time and I'm right this time, or Parker's right this time. Keeping you on your toes.
That's right. That's right. Anyways, that was fun. I'm glad we were able to go review that. It's always nice to kind of look at it. And that's what I was trying to do is prepare for our tournament where like, all right, there's Zard, Chen Pao, Lugia. That's the top three, right? Like how am I beating those? And we took a deck with a close to baddest matchup versus Zard. I mean, we knew the route is all we could do, right? And then try to go from there. All right, so I'm going to share my screen now for those of you listening on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast. This will be a time if you want to come watch on YouTube. We're going to talk about the day two deck list and run through all of the decks and the results and just have some discussion about the results. But first off, congratulations to Tord Rekloff. He did it again. I mean, new format. He always does this in these new formats. He just like finds it the most consistent list and does well with them. And he hit what seems to be a bad matchup in the finals and found a way to win. His plot armor is pretty thick. But yeah, what I mean, thoughts on Charizard winning shocked by this, or you're more shocked by the deck list itself?
Yeah, I mean, I'd jump in and say real quick, like, again, we talk about Tord being known for playing these consistent lists coming to a tournament. Like, this is not that, right? This is much closer to his, toolbox list that he did well at the last, they made top four at his most recent tournament with, as a Charizard EX deck, right? Kind of very teched out, right? Playing the 1/1 barrel, playing this cool package to really beat Snorlax Salt, the Professor Turo scenario, plus the team yells cheer, Prime Catcher, right? A lot of different one-up pieces. This is not what most Charizard lists looked like coming into the tournament. Again, Tord being an expert pilot, knowing this list well and having pieces for really every scenario. Again, just led him to spot where he said, hey, I'm gonna use a very powerful deck. I'm gonna play it better than everyone else. I'm gonna have it tech to beat the matchups that I need it for. And right, just went on an incredible run.
I mean, what stands out to you, Parker, about the list?
Like Maddox was saying, it's like not his usual purely consistent stuff that he usually has. Yeah, it's like a lot of utility Pokemon, so like the Rotom, the Minion, and Cleffa, and the 1/1 Barrel to go with like the typical like Pidgeot line. He's got Yelcheer, he's got two Professor Turos. So he just wanted to take a fair enough matchup against like control decks and stuff like that. And like Turoing a Charizard sometimes, it's
I mean,
very
it
solid.
probably close to wins the mirror. I mean, is it better than Devo in the mirror? I don't know the answer to that because I'm not a mirror expert on Charizard, but
Right.
maybe
Yeah.
it's pretty good. I mean, the one thing stands out to me is like there's only three Arvin instead of four Arvin.
Yeah, man.
So
It's
that
like,
stood out to me a little bit. But I do love the Cleffa, it being Buddy Poff insearchable, and just, being able to find, like, some people are playing like two Rotoms, right?
yeah,
This is
this
kind of like the second Rotom, but it's Buddy Poff insearchable, right?
is,
And I really, it's free retreat, it's always good to have a good pivot in Zard. I like the list a lot, and he piloted it. He played really great in the finals and took down Isaiah Bradner with their spicy Tina list. Their group had a nice list, and I really like this list a lot. I know, Parker, I think maybe you've mentioned you don't love it as much. But I've been saying since day one that Tina's not very consistent. And the issue is you need to find Colwurs when you need to find Colwurs. And this list says, all right, four Steelstone finds my first Colwurs, and the Bayonet finds my second Colwurs. And hopefully I'll find a third and fourth kind of on my own. And I really like
and
that instead of
fifth.
playing the fifth. Yeah, exactly. Instead of playing the Minion, maybe this is just better because the Bayonet EX, if you get it set up turn two, probably just autos the Chen Pao matchup, which is
That
has been
does.
Tina's worst matchup.
Yeah, I was gonna say if there is a deck that is slightly favored in Athena, it's probably Chen Pao.
Yeah.
And yeah, it basically solves that matchup unless they play the Artifacts, or they, realize what you're doing and just manually attach Chen Pao for 6 turns while you're echoing dark or everlasting darknessing them.
I mean, it just gives you enough time to chase those six down with Prime Catcher, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think really this deck. Really smart play. Again, just hey, this is, and again, I think they're really trying to build a deck that can make a deep run, right? It says Tina with a few more tools. I think the biggest, loss from this deck compared to other builds is just losing the water energies, not being able to utilize Moonlight Shuriken with creating Greninja. But instead trading that off with, a new interesting win condition against Chen Pao. Again, it's very difficult to kind of deal with early. But again, being able to even use the Shuppet if you're going second and just try to say, hey, on a coin flip, I'm going to shut off your items, right? That can really slow down the deck with Bayonet EX. There's going to be options there. Bayonet EX, I thought also really, we saw it on stream a few times, being a very interesting tool into the control matchup. Being able to, again, once they get to a spot where they have a Pidgeot EX with Cape and with Mist Energy on it, your team doesn't really have a great way to deal with it. But if they have a bunch of trainers in their hand, which, surprise, Control plays a ton of trainers, hit them with a Poltergeist for 400 damage and just take care of any threats. So
It was kind of crazy that you could just like, hey, control player, I'm gonna control you. Like,
Yeah.
especially like the Pidgeot ones, you're like, yeah, you're not playing any candies, bud.
Yeah. Also, including the Ultra Ball as just one extra out to find like your TWV star, or also even the Bayonet EX.
Leaves.
Yeah, or leaves, exactly. I think the Bayonet from Lost Origin is just a really nice tool here as well. You can use it early to help accelerate your Lost Zone. Again, you can grab that Colossus from the discard, like you said, Eric, and then grab and then put those two cards in the Lost Zone, the Bayonet and Chuppet. So just adding two to the Lost Zone plus Colossus, you're having a four swing in one turn at least. Or even better, you can just leave the Bayonet on your bench. And then your Iono proof from that. So say you get Iono to Roxanne, then you at any time you can just use Puppet Offering to grab, your own Roxanne or a boss or a Colrus or whatever you need from the discard in order to get back into the game.
So I think it's a very innovative list. And then outside of that, looking at the top eight, we have two Pidgeot controls that made top eight, one with Snorlax, one without Snorlax. William Acevedo played his Charizard deck to top four. And then we had two future hands in top eight with Yuho continuing his awesome season with the future hands making top eight with that deck. And then we see Roaring Moon Dunsparce in top eight as well. Very good deck. Interesting, that it's still some of these decks are trying to cut the guidance from the Roaring Moon to Dunsparce. So it's interesting they still see it, but he's playing four Dark Patch, four Ness, four Earthen, four three Shoes. Just saying, hey, I'm gonna attack with Roaring Moon as fast as possible, whether it be the EX or the baby. And it's pretty solid list. I mean, ran it well. I've seen it all over the ladder, people playing it everywhere. And I think I like the two I hit were pretty, the two ancient box I hit were pretty close to that list. I don't know exactly if they were, but because they didn't have the Dunsparce, I don't think, but they did have the Roaring Moon EXs and the Baby Moons. So it was pretty close. But the Dunsparce just draws three cards and goes back in the deck and says, hey, I'm not a liability anymore. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and the Dunsparce itself is free retreat, so it's nice pivot to help, synergize well with Dark Patch. Overall, it's a deck that I heard a little bit about before EYC. I knew that I knew that was a fun deck and that like it was actually at a surprisingly like high power level. Unfortunately, like I'm actually a little upset that it did so well here because now everyone knows about it. Because it's gonna maybe be a sneaky rogue play for Orlando, but now a lot of people know about it. So, but again, if you haven't checked out this list, it's a sick list. It's a lot of fun to play. I definitely encourage you trying it out.
I mean, two of them made top 16. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Looking at the top 16, we got one deck here that's kind of by itself for the most part, and that's Gardevoir.
Part of.
Gardevoir is not dead? Question mark?
Yeah, lots of other Gardevoir supporters on Twitter saying, the death of Gardevoir was greatly exaggerated. Right? I mean, here it is, just. I mean, really, I mean, and also shout out to, I mean, Fabian, right, bubbled out of top eight. Chance we would have seen Gardevoir in top eight. A lot of
Answer
really
could have
good,
won it all.
exactly. I mean, a lot of really, really good tools here. Gardevoir, again, very, very powerful ability. Lots of great psychic Pokemon to go along with it. Just kind of getting the right combination of cards and getting the setup that you need and to put the pressure on.
Yeah, I mean, it just says I'm gonna put my tool on my tail on my Drifloon and I'm gonna hit big damage numbers. That's kind of how they're hitting it these days. And against the Turbo Hands box, the Klefki is kind of what you use early to try to prevent the 80 damage KO while you're kind of setting up. So I think everything in this list is well thought out, pretty good. Not really sure about the Eerie, but sure, I guess if you want to
Just a
put
good
Eerie,
card.
I mean, it is a good card, but probably just better supporters to play. I don't know.
Probably good in things like Chen Pao, which can, give you a hard time with Greninja and Iron Hands.
Maybe they're just trying to hit the vacuums against the decks that have vacuums, right?
True. Too, yeah.
Maybe that's what it's for.
Again, with a lot of onboard draw, right? Gardevoir has always been a deck that I think can afford to play these types of like tech supporters. Since they say, hey, I can see a lot of cards during my turn, I can accelerate energy off the board, so. Right, like I said, maybe there's an opportune time if they're holding that vacuum. Just go eerie and say yoink. Give them a little bit of trouble like that.
All
Gardevoir
right.
EX down to 82 cents. Jeez.
Is it? Oh, wow.
It's down to 82 cents. Oh,
Gardevoir
Gardevoir
EX.
EX. Oh,
That's
that's what a
crazy.
reprint will do for it, plus losing Shining Arcana.
Yeah, plus
Yeah.
using Shining Arcana. All right, so now is the time to pick your interesting slash unique deck. And then we'll talk more about some other results and things in a minute. But who wants to go first?
I could take the reins
Go
if
for
you
it.
want.
I'll do it here. Just tell me what number.
Yeah, so 26, Braden Alfred or Alfred.
The Rogue
Yeah,
Deck Master.
I see him in day two a lot. But a deck that I was kind of I discounted heavily, and then I played like one game on ladder and one game IRL against it, and I was like, this is a real deck. This is
Yeah.
actually a real deck.
Yeah,
And
it is a real deck.
it's strong. It's got disruption as well. Like it's a real deck. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon on Twitter said he hit 7 Zards.
That's crazy.
So,
That's
we know.
fortunate, I guess.
I mean, that's 22% of the room. I guess he made a good meta call, right? Playing a deck with grass in it. Yeah, I mean, it's very strong. The Pokemon League headquarters can be very annoying for some decks to deal with.
I mean that plus
Zatu to
Dazzling
draw
Gaze.
cards. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, your Maridon needs three energies to peak accelerate now.
Yikes.
Needs six energies to
Yikes.
amp you very much. Oh
Oh
boy.
God. Lost Vacuum. All right. Yeah, I mean, very interesting list here. Four aromas is also very interesting.
Oh, no nest balls.
No nest balls, yeah.
You have the
Just
Buddy
the Buddy
Poffin.
Poffins. Everything's Buddy Poffin searchable.
Yeah, for the
Except
most part,
for
yeah.
Kazam. Except for Kazam, that's it.
And
Yeah.
Fluttermane.
I guess right, he's already playing the four Ultra Ball. I guess just the logic there is just like, hey, I need to get my evolutions into play, and having a way to get them without having to discard
Yep.
cards is nice. I mean, really, it's saying like, hey, I'm playing six Ultra Balls because half the time my
Because
capture
half
combo is
time it
just a free
works,
Ultra Ball type of thing like that. Mother EX with the cape. Yeah, that's gonna be pretty annoying.
Or Bane EX with the cape.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I mean, even Rigid Band, was this 30 less, right?
Fluttermane
40
with a
to 30
cape. 30 less on
30
stage
less.
ones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, saucy list. Congratulations, Braden, to a top 32 finish. It's dope.
Yeah.
Max, what do you got for us?
Let's see. My call out again. Just a shout out to Jared Grimes, who played a little bit of interesting spice in his list. I think he was right around 60 with me, Eric. 57. So again, Chen Pao didn't convert super well into the top 8 or really even the top 16. Jared Grimes, right? One of the main players of Chen Pao made a couple of interesting calls here. A couple of cards to highlight, right? A lot of players were opting to play the Spirit Tomb, really helping in the control matchup as well as into Zard and helps into Lugia a little bit as well. Actually chose to play the, three Chen Pao plus the Ditto from 151. That being Buddy Poffin searchable, can retreat into your Chen, can retreat the Ditto into the active to then turn that into a Raining Greninja or Chen Pao. Just gives you a lot of nice flexibility, helps increase like your opening consistency as well. Being able to go and find that Chen Pao for a matchup where you want it in the active, or grab that Greninja when you really need a way to get to it. Also, standout card, probably a bulk bin card for a lot of people, but people, you did see it in your pre-releases. Played the boxed order. Again, search your deck for two item cards, villain put in your hand, your turn ends. For a deck that's really, not really doing anything on the first or second turn, just having a card like this does give it some nice power level, right? If you're able to go into a situation and say, hey, I'm going to grab Prime Catcher and Rare Candy, right? Being able to just grab two powerful items, have them in your hand ready to go for a big play on the next turn. Definitely, right? It doesn't feel good if it's comboed with, your opponent's Eerie, perhaps. But I do think overall here, a fun call. I talked to Jared. He said, had a few times where it was useful, maybe a cardio change or something else, but here's a fun card that didn't seem super meta, relevant, getting a limitless page here at the first big tournament with it. So shout out to Jared on his success with Chen Pao.
Yep. Awesome. That's pretty cool. All right. My list comes from one of the first Lugias. It's not that one. Which one is it? Is it Adams? Nope. Oh, it's 39th, isn't it? 39th. Yeah.
We got Neuvern.
Yeah, my boy
No.
Adam Knowles.
No. Hold on. I'm gonna give it away when I search for it. Searching the wrong thing.
Oh.
59th, sorry. Had the wrong nine in my head.
Wait,
So
four Morty?
Yeah, exactly. So this Lugia list, I sent X to this guy round one. And to me, he's been a known Lugia player.
Two,
And
two? Sorry.
yeah,
Keep
he's
going.
been a known Lugia player. And so he chose, I heard him choose second. And I'm like, huh? So I'm like, maybe he's not playing Lugia anymore.
Huh?
And then he flips over Lugia. And I'm like, huh? Wait, like what? So this group's list is very, very good and very interesting. It's mostly consistent. You see, it's just three lines. So that's always good when you see three lines. Played four Morty's Conviction to get rid of your Archaeops and draw cards on turn two.
Huh?
But one of the things I was talking to him later about his list, he's like, yeah, he put a 2/2 Lugia. I'm like, bro, what? Like, at least play a 3/2. You gotta get your Lugia down. But I mean, it worked for him. They were doing well. And I mean, I think the Morty's is low key pretty good, right? I mean, get rid of the Archaeops and draw maybe five, depending on your opponent's start.
Yeah, I mean, given a lot of decks in the room, right? You know, you're playing against things like Charizard or Chen Pao, who's trying to set their board up wide.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're very, very easily drawing, you know, 3 to 4 cards into a lot of matchups. Even like, you know, Iron Hands, right? We're setting up all the crowns.
Yeah.
You know, maybe tough into things like Arctina, but like or Arc decks, but you already have a pretty good matchup into those anyways. If you even have some time. That's a
Yeah,
pretty spicy.
Pretty spicy list. Yeah.
The 2/2 could play the Thornton. Really spiced up the list with the
Well, I mean, if you're
2/2.
playing two Laminia, you might as well, right?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe, yeah. Anyway, so that was my list. It was pretty spicy. And we'll spend a couple more minutes on EUIC results. Just looking out here. It's kind of crazy that Lugia didn't do well, right? After the one tournament in Japan that, you know, won the tournament. Highest placing Lugia list was 24th.
Yeah. I mean, Chen Pao also missing top 16, despite being, you know, second highest played deck in the room day one and day two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, conversion percentage wise, I think Hands was like number one conversion or number two, something along those lines in a day two.
I'd have to check the numbers on it, but I mean, it did convert fairly well. I mean, a lot
Yeah.
of players that played, and it was all around the top tables. I mean, I know, you know, another friend of the pod, you know, Derek from the Shuffle Squad, right? You know, he was playing Lugia. He hit four to Iron Hands
Day
day
two.
two.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
Rest in
so,
peace.
right? So just like tough off the bat there. I mean, I do think a lot of Lugias were running these Iron Hand decks that just kind of kept performing well in the top tables. Again, hard time in the Charizard, but ultimately, like, still just showed up and did well.
Yeah. All right, so one last thing to call out. Azul Garcia Griego and his group. I didn't think I would ever say this. They finally played Lost Tina. Maybe they just decided it was just really good in the format. Played two Temple of Sinnoh for the Lugia matchup, because the Lugia matchup's pretty bad. But outside of that, this is kind of a standard, consistent Chen Pao. Guarantee list, excuse me. Played the tomb. They really value the tomb. We got Parker going completely dark here. Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Bro,
Oh.
There you are.
Okay. I'll have to sit like this.
You gotta put some light on your
just
screen,
put your
buddy.
little phone flashlight just pointed at you.
I was like, where'd Parker
During, like,
go? Anyways,
I
what
look
do you
like an
guys
unlockable character.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about their group playing Mostina? Did you ever think you'd see the day?
It's a little surprising because, I mean, Azul just memes on it, but like, who knows what Azul's thinking? Like, is he actually like think Tina was mid the whole time? But like, I it's the deck is just strong. If you're a very strong, like, you're a strong player, you could win any matchup basically. Like,
Yeah.
it's just good.
That's good. No four seal stone is interesting. Most are playing it.
Exact, get that stuff out of here.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, I think, you know, you kind of have to lean into the joke if you're saying that Tina is a mid deck type of thing. Obviously, right, we've seen it with Piloted great success before. Again, his whole crew is very talented players, so you know if they pick up any deck, they would have a good run running with it.
True.
I think here they went with the Tina deck that was just very, very consistent. Really said, hey, you know, Tina is just good against the room. It gives them a lot of chances to, again, you know, utilize all their attackers, rating Greninja, Sableye, Cramorant, Giratina, right, and some of the best attackers in the game, including the Iron Leaves to deal with help with Charizard, Temple of Sinnoh to help into Lugia, things like that were helpful. And I think really the big key piece here is also the Spirit Tomb. Giratina's matchup into things like control is not as strong ever since Eerie was released, being able to just target those switching cards and super rods and those resources. So being able
Sure.
to play Spirit Tomb, just have a little extra way to slow down those control decks, and also even helps Kansard and Lugia if you want it. I think overall just like a really solid list. You know, if one wasn't to play the Bayonet package that Isaiah Bradner's crew played, then I'd point them towards this list direction. It's just, hey, here's a very, very consistent Giratina list that
Yep.
does what it wants to do. Plays the two gears, two Roxanne, I think is nice. A little heavier counts of switch. Overall, just, I mean, solid, strong deck.
Yeah, I agree. All right, any more thoughts on Europe?
Again, really, really cool to just be at the, you know, big first tournament of the new format. Rest in
Yeah.
peace to all of my Fusion Strike folks. But
Yeah.
yeah, but again, still good to be exploring new decks and see all the different successful decks that, you know, came out and did well at tournaments, right? You know, seeing Gabriel Fernandez with Ancient Box, and his brother Vinny
Yeah.
playing it also, right? Ancient Boxing survives with the Roaring Moon Dunsparce. We have Gardevoir back. We have Ark Charcadet that had a very good showing.
Yep,
Different control
17th,
decks,
yep.
Turbo Hands, Lost Box. I mean, just so many decks are viable right now. I think it's a really, really exciting time to play. And you know, survive the matchup roulette and just show up with a deck that you like and know very well, and you have the potential to do well.
Yep, very true.
Really, really cool format right now.
Yeah, so we'll move on to start talking about Orlando, but before we do, on your way down to Orlando, make sure you stop by Nakama Anime Cafe here in North Florida. Thank you again, Nakama, for your continued support. They got some awesome events coming up. They have a One Piece cosplay on April 19th. So I know a lot of people are kind of really into One Piece right now. You know, the anime plus the Netflix show is kind of popping off. They've got a Sailor Moon rave on 427. I'm not a big rave person, but I did go to a Pokemon rave there and it was a lot of fun. So if you love Sailor Moon and you love dancing and you love raving, show up on 427. But if you want to be like me and you like to eat and you like to cook and you like to get in the kitchen, on April 28th, there is a ramen eating competition.
Oh,
I repeat,
that's
there is
dangerous.
a ramen eating competition. So if you want to try to beat me, show up because I will be there. And I'm going to win and you won't, but you're welcome to come try. Anyways, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for ramen eating competition. That's going to be a lot of fun. But thanks, Nakama, for your continued support. So yeah. Let's
Ramen,
move.
that okay, that's gonna be so dope. Sorry, just ramen eating contest.
That's what I'm saying. Are you coming? You gonna try?
I mean, maybe, but I
You
feel
don't
like
have
I'm
to
also gonna
win,
get
but you can just go
destroyed.
to eat ramen,
I could just
you
eat
know?
two bowls of ramen and dip out, I guess.
Yeah,
Parker, are you
exactly.
pulling up?
Yeah, I should hopefully be there.
Pull up, dog. Anyways, that's fun. All right, so we got a couple topics to get through here. Not a lot of time, so I'm gonna run through this first one pretty fast. So Worlds dates finally announced. Those of you that are trying to go to Worlds, the dates are announced only 4 months in advance, but it's fine, I guess. August 16th is the date of Worlds. So that weekend, August 16th through the 19th, that is when Worlds will be in Honolulu. So aloha, whatever the other words are that I don't know, but I will learn. Wait, how do you see beer in Hawaiian? You gotta figure that out.
I mean, it is part of the United States of America.
Yeah, I
I
know,
think
but I'm
English
sure
is
like
pretty
in
safe.
Hawaii there's
It
like
is one of the
beer.
50 states.
It is, but I'm sure there's a word for beer in like Hawaiian language, right? Have to figure it out.
How do I
Anyways,
say Cross Fusion Spike Techno Blast in Hawaiian?
sorry, you can't say that anymore, sir. That is banned.
Unfortunate.
So just as we're talking about world, just want to bring back attention to this world's graphic that Maddox made back in start of the season. Just to kind of Maddox is a big numbers guy, likes to keep track of his numbers. Maddox also qualified for worlds this weekend. Congratulations, Maddox.
Thank you, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Congratulations. So based off of your kind of thing here, how'd you do it? Like what route did you follow?
Yeah, I mean, again, right, being able to use this as a basis of just kind of targeting even that broad area of, hey, I need 250 to 350 local points. So I'm just pulling up my points real quick. So really how I did it. So cups, I went a little bit, above really what I needed to here. I had 234 points through cups and then combined that with the 85 challenge points. So I had that going into EUIC. That was right around, hey, that's my 300 points. Now I need to get 300 points between regionals and international championships. Again, I think regionals, hey, it can be hard to get points at them sometimes, right? That's just very, very true. Besides, my top four in Portland, that got me 130 points. My other finishes besides that were 30s and 20s. All that averaged together gave me 220. So really, I was just in a very, very strong spot where I said, hey, I need about 80 points at EUIC or at a IC to lock it in. Again, that big regional finish has helped me put me into a good spot. Ended up with 130 for top 64 at an IC, which put me well over the 600 points limit that I needed. So again, the route that I went specifically was about a little over 300 points for at locals, and then just about, again, another, like I said, 350 from regionals and ICs. Of course, right, had I gotten top 256, that would have put me just at exactly enough, basically just getting that 80 that I needed. So again, it's that last quarter push. Do the math, right? If you have a few regional finishes, you need to probably push some of those into the big finish, as well as getting points at an ICs. But again, if you're one of those locals grinders in category one, right, having some of those, smaller regionals and IC goals are a little bit easier. Again, mixing in some of the other events available. There's the Puerto Rico special event, the Bogota special event, the two special events in South Africa. There's plenty of opportunities for anyone who like really, really wants to go like gung ho on getting those regional finishes and getting some of those special event points.
Yeah, awesome. So for those of you listening at home, on Spotify, Google, and whatnot, you should come and see this on YouTube because this graphic that Maddox made this year is absolute fire. Thank you, Maddox. I know I've heard some people saying they're kind of following along with this, trying to keep their route to Worlds in mind. So just make sure you know your route to Worlds, and we will see you in Hawaii. All right, let's move on to Orlando discussion. I've got some rapid fire questions for you to come through these questions, and then we'll jump into our meta predictions and Orlando updated tier list. So, are you boys ready for the rapid fire questions?
Ready.
Yeah.
What was your first thought when you saw Charizard greater than 20% meta share?
That's fair.
My first thought was, oh, Iron Hands was maybe not the best pick.
I'm in danger. That was mine. That was my thought. And I most certainly was. Will the majority of Charizard players switch to Prime Catcher after Tord won with it in Czar?
I think it's what like pretty close to 50-50 split on it. I think it'll go to like 70, 65, 5 for it or something like that.
It's really hard to say. I think that if you're playing against a Charizard opponent at Orlando, you still have to assume they're playing maximum belt until you see otherwise. I
Yeah.
do think that we'll probably see close to like 35, 40% playing Prime Catcher, maybe like 40, 45% playing Max Belt, and then the few last few on like Cape. It's hard to say. I think a lot of people should be sticking with their list that they know and are comfortable with. But I could see a lot of people just jumping over to Prime Catcher.
Is toward the goat yet? This is more for Parker because I know you're a longtime player.
Playing now, yes. I don't know. I've seen a lot of debate on Twitter and Facebook. I think, obviously he doesn't play like current formats anymore, but I think Jason's like a little bit like, 'cause I've had a couple of like friends like play against him, and they were just like, it was like playing against a robot. Like it was literally just perfect play basically. But But like a lot of people were saying, like information was a lot more hidden back then, whereas like now you top an event, you got 27,000 people copying your deck lists, whereas back then, you know, like people had to gather your deck list like from what they played against you, basically.
I think that Tord is clearly the best player in the game right now. Hard to say and just beat, you know, the legacy of Jason. So I think for now, you know, it is not a closed debate.
He still hasn't, made his legacy yet, right?
No.
Still going. Will Pokemon print another Zard counter, such as Drapion, that says, hey, for the number of dark Pokemon in play, this costs one energy less? I don't know. Will they print a Zard counter soon? Another one?
I know they like tried to print one in like the newest set. I forgot what it was. Is it a
What leaves?
Breloom or something?
Well, Iron Leaves is the Zard counter, right?
Leaves, yeah, but there's like a stage one for one energy knocks out Zard now.
No,
And
well, it
like
doesn't
not
knock out Zard. That's the Sunflora. It's like for each opponent of your opponent's fire energy
Sunflora.
in play.
Yeah.
Doesn't
So like
necessarily knock out Zard.
right.
But I guess,
If they have like
I guess it could.
If they have like four energies or something, it's yeah, something like that. But will that see play? I don't know. It's a stage one. You need to play grass energies in your deck, so like not sure.
I think we'll see. Not necessarily a hard counter to the point of a Drapion, where it's splashable in every deck. I do think that we'll see maybe a more accessible, maybe another some sort of just strong grass attacker that can help, balance the strength of Charizard right now.
Yeah. What is the best deck not named Charizard?
Pidgeot Control.
Ooh, spicy.
If you're a good pilot
I'm
of
a
it.
Tina boy. I say it's Tina.
Tina? Which Tina?
Lost Tina.
All right, lost Tina. Why did Lugia do so poorly?
Because it caught these hands.
Hey.
I mean, it's sure. I think a lot of people were just ready for it, and Iron Hands did really well. Sorry,
Yeah,
Parker.
ready for it, and then like as I always say, consistency issues. Like
Consistency issues, yeah.
should
you
have
just
played
sit
four
there and
Mortys.
should have
Yeah,
played four Mortys. Yeah, exactly.
true that.
Is Shuppet now a standard in Lost Tina?
I think there will be a lot of people on it.
Yeah, I think you have to be ready for Shuppet and Lost Tina. The 2/2 Bennett line. I think a lot of people will copy Bradner's lists because it covers some of the weaknesses of Tina. Again, I'd probably say if you flip over against a team that has a person that's playing Giratina V, this before Giratina V, you're like, okay,
Arc Tina or
30
Lost
30
Tina?
30% 30% chance it's Arc Tina. And then if it's Lost Tina, then like I'd probably say greater than 50% chance that it's has Bayonet in it, honestly, at this point.
Yeah.
Heard it here first. All right. Is there an archetype that hasn't been explored enough yet? Is it Future Box? Is that the one archetype that hasn't been explored enough? Or is it Ancient Box? Or is it something else?
So like my impressions of Ancient Box were that it was like I think I said it was the best worst deck.
Yeah.
But as I've been saying sort of recently, I think the pure moon decks where you basically don't play Koridon or anything are better than the ones that do play Koridon. But I think it has to be future, but like I really, really tried and it's just not consistent enough for whatever reason.
Okay.
I think maybe the
Nice.
Salvator box is a
Yeah,
deck
that's what I was going
that
to say too.
is a deck that like is known. Again, I don't know if it hasn't been explored because it's just not good. But kind of playing those combo pieces of like Bayonet EX, the Bronzong and the Evolution Jammers. What's the other one? Noivern EX, Aerodactyl V Star, right? Kind of those pieces. There's some powerful attackers right now that really help in the matchups. I don't know if it's just the consistency of setting those up that's giving problems, or if it's just a deck that people haven't spent enough time on. Something that is kind of curious. And I do think after like the rise of a lot of the basic attackers and just some a little bit more known of the format. If we'll see some people roll up with more of like a counter box deck, trying to
Yeah.
cover some of those target some of those specific matchups.
What wins Orlando?
Hard.
I'm going control.
What wins Perth?
Sorry. Whatever Brent Tonneson's playing.
All
True.
right, that wraps up the rapid fire questions. You heard him here first, guys. Whatever Brent Tonneson's playing is what will win Perth. Congratulations, Brent. All right, let's jump into our meta predictions. Maddox, you did worst as you could last time, so I'd like to give you the opportunity to go first. What is the number one deck in the room?
Charizard.
What is the percentage?
I don't think it can possibly be as high as EUIC, even though it just won. So I'm gonna say, but I don't know. But at a regional, you're just copying a list and going in sometimes. I'm gonna say 20%.
Okay. Parker, you did second worst, so you get to go second. What's your number one deck?
It's Charizard, 100%.
And percentage.
I think it might be just as high. I've gotten so many calls this weekend or this week at just my store asking, hey, do you guys have a Cleffa, a Prime Catcher? Do you have a Team Yelcheer?
Yeah.
Like, I
So you
gotten
think it's just as high? So 22% or higher?
23. Well,
Ooh.
23.
I am also saying Charizard, and I am also going to say 24% just to take the $1 thing.
Boo. Ooh.
That way, if it's higher, I'm closest.
True.
All right, number two, Maddox.
Let's see. I mean, number two, probably still have to go Chen Pao here. I'd probably say 11, 12%.
All right, Parker.
Lugia.
Lugia, even though it didn't do so well, huh? All
Yeah.
right. What do you got percentage wise?
Say 11.
I am going to say, what am I going to say? I am also going to say Chen Pao, I guess. I'm going to think Chen Pao drops off a little, so I'm going to say 10.5.
So we're taking that last spot to really just go and try to snipe all these points from
No,
Usman.
I mean, you had 11, like he had 11, 11, and 12. Like 10 and a half didn't anything. Oh, you want me to go first, number three?
No.
Okay. All right. Would you like to go first?
I don't care.
Go for it.
You run the segment how you want.
All right, you're first.
Number three, it will not be Lugia. Instead, thanks to the success of Juho and others, we're gonna go with Future Hands
Percentage
at 9%.
9%. Parker.
Ugh.
Oh wait, I skipped Tina. I probably shouldn't have done that. Wait.
Wait, do you want to change it?
Yeah, we'll make Tina third. Run it back real quick. My
Lost
bad.
Tina.
Tina 10%. Go ahead, Parker.
Ten
I think
percent.
yeah.
All right.
Tina is 9.7%.
You think it's third?
Yeah.
Okay.
What you said, 9.7, is that what you said?
Yep.
I am going to stick with my chalk and say that this is Lugia. I don't think top three changes. I really don't. So I'm gonna say Lugia at 9.5. Maddox, this is where you want future?
Yeah, I'm gonna do future at also 9%. I think I'm gonna do
Parker?
future Lugia and Lost Tina all at 9%, 3 through 5. I
Chen Pao.
don't know.
Parker Chen Pao. Wow, dropping all the way down to number four.
Chen Pao at 9.2%.
All right. So I've got Charizard, Chen Pao, Lugia. I think Lostina will be number four. And I'm gonna say that they'll be. Let's see. What was it before? It's 6.3. I think it's gonna be like 8.5. All right, number five, Maddox, you've got Charizard, Chen Pao, Lostina, Future.
We're going Lugia now.
All right, dang, falling
Also at
all the way
nine.
down.
Literally, these three through five could just be in any order. I think they're all going to be a similar meta percentage.
You have
Well,
to
Charizard
pick.
will be first, but
Well,
the
yeah, sorry, three.
rest of the
I said three
four.
through five.
Yeah, okay,
Oh, three through five. Sorry.
you have to pick. I'm not going to give you credit if it's like Lugia, Future. You have to pick.
I mean, listen, you come to me for Fusion Strike content. You don't come to me for proper percentages. I'm just saying.
Future Strike content is dead.
No.
Parker, what's your number five?
Future
Future, at what
answer for
percentage?
future 8.8.
8.8. I will also put Future at five, and I will say it's at 8%. Then last pick of the day, Maddox.
I want to say Roaring Moon to Dunsparce.
I was
I don't
thinking
think
that
it's gonna
too.
quite jump
I
in
was
there.
like, yeah.
I'm gonna go Arctina.
Arctina. Percentages.
Well, I don't know, seven, six, I don't know, something in there. It's not gonna be on the chart. Oh, well, my bad.
Was on the chart. That's number six.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's not gonna be though, because I
Oh, okay.
picked it.
Okay. Parker?
There's like three that are kind of speaking to me. I think that. I think control will be number six.
Say that you took my pick.
Is a hot take, but
Percentages?
I mean, they've separated Snorlax, Stall, and Pidgeot control
They
before.
did, yeah. I
Oh, did
mean,
they? Okay.
yeah. But number seven was control at 4.1.
If they separate it, I guess I'll change it. I'll change it to Arceus.
Arctina.
Being seven point 2%.
All right, well, I'm taking the control pick. I ain't scared. I'm going to say it's at 6% and that it's six. All right, lock those in. Moving on. We have 10 to 15 minutes left here, guys, and we'll push through the tier list. And that will be our last topic for Orlando. So, this is for Orlando specifically. You can use this for Perth, for those of you going to Perth. It will be very similar. I would say expect more control at Perth than you will at Orlando, that you will actually hit just because of the sheer volume of people
No.
in Orlando.
Can
All
we
right.
add decks to this? Pidgeot
Weep.
control and Roaring Moon. Dun
Yeah, I
dun.
think
Moon's on
so.
there. Well, that's Ancient Box. Just do the Pidgeot, yeah.
There's a moon one. Oh.
Oh. Did you, what is there, can I add it down here at the bottom?
No, you got it up there. Just do that, yeah. Just do that, yeah. Hey, that's in there now. And then we got Roaring Moon, Dun Dun Spores.
Is that in here?
No.
It's just a regular moon,
but yeah.
Anything else
Right,
you
cool.
want to add?
About it.
All right, we're
No,
putting
it's good.
Charizard in S tier, yeah?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I just won the regional, had two top eight finishes.
It's 17 calls a day asking if we have Charizards.
literally the best deck in format, sadly. All right, so we got that. What else? What do you want? Anything else in S tier?
No.
I think Pidgeot control could be there, honestly.
Oh. Saucy.
Damn. I mean, not really. We kind of knew it was like very, very good if someone shows up with a good list. Alessandro did just that and had a really strong run. He didn't even play the Snorlaxes and he still made top four.
True that.
He did play the Noivern EX though, which I do think could make an appearance.
I do
I
think
don't know if
so
that should
too, yeah.
scare you off of your future
So
hands, but still around.
the only thing about that, right, is like I feel like I don't know. I feel like it's just like the Zard decks were ready for control and
They
stuff like
definitely were.
that.
I mean,
Like
you look at, I mean, I watched chart, I watched Tord play Alessandro and just like own him.
but that's Tord. I think
Yeah.
everyone picking up a Zard deck will not be able to do as well against control.
This is true.
I'm okay with keeping it there.
Okay.
What goes in A category? Do
Tina, Lugia,
we not have Lost
Chen
Tina on
Pao.
here?
Yeah, have their
It's right
Giratina
there.
Lost Unbox.
Ah.
You said Chen Pao.
Yeah.
Lugia.
Lugia.
Yeah, I
Balearic
guess. Yeah.
Tina.
I mean, Lugia beats Zard, right? Like, you gotta play something to beat Zard, right?
Yeah.
So,
Is the Mooring Moon A
I don't
tier?
think it's A tier, no. I think it's on the same
Okay.
tier where Future's gonna be, right?
Well, I mean, Future is A tier though,
Is it?
easily.
You just lose
Yeah.
the Zard.
But it beats everything else.
For this weekend specifically, is Future an A tier play?
If you dodge Zard, it is. I
But I
mean,
mean, that's what I'm
like,
saying. Like, but you can't dodge 25%.
but you can. That's what Druho and
You
his
can
list
and
did.
will.
Every single round, you're more likely to play against not Charizard than Charizard.
It feels weird putting it in B tier, but I don't believe it's the best play.
I don't either.
I think the deck's just done too well
Right.
to not put it in A tier. I
Eight
agree. I mean,
point
it's
five.
like a. I mean, there's some risk to playing it, I guess. But I think the room again, like it's gonna be a lot of Zard. There are gonna be some people that are gonna be ready for like with the Noiverns, but I still think that like it's still just a solid play if you're comfortable walking in and saying, hey, I lose to Charizard, but I can beat everything else.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Artina B.
Maybe A. I don't know.
I think there's so many just viable decks right now. Like
Yeah.
Guardian, can you make a conversation to be an A? Or like Roaring Moon for
Yeah.
Ancient Box, right? All of these are like solid plays.
Think Ancient Box is C, but the Moon is B.
I'm okay with that.
Snorlax B.
Yeah, B. People are ready for
C.
Gastall.
Yes, sir. You know,
No.
I like overestimated people's willingness to play Goldango, I suppose, but
Yeah.
I still think it's like a good play.
I think it's like A or B, yeah.
We put it in A for EUIC and it did absolutely nothing.
I know.
I can't put it higher than B.
So we gotta be, yeah, it's gotta be B, I guess, sadly.
Mean, I don't think enough people
Dialga.
played it. Wasn't it like 2%?
Something like that.
I
Well,
think
I
it's
mean, I didn't do very well on day two.
well, there was no top players that played it, right?
I don't think a top player will play it, but I think like if you're gonna play a deck,
Dang, Jarek, calling you out.
oh, did Jarek play it?
No, well,
No,
Jarek played it to Knoxville,
yeah, played
top
in Knoxville,
32.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe like, no offense to anyone that played it, but I don't believe like any of the like super top players played it. Dialga low key kind of.
Kind of loses the
They did
Zard.
Pram so dirty on stream with
Bro, that shit. They did,
the
dude.
Star Chronos into Metal Blast, donking Arceus.
Yes,
Donking
sir.
two Pokemon and play
Yes, sir.
Arceus. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Raging Bolt's Antishocks maybe could be D tier. I do think like Ancient Box and like Moon draw cards is like on the rise. I think we could see some more players playing those to some good success.
Yeah, agreed.
Again, Future Hands is one of those things where it's like, yes, it's very good into so much, has a hard time into Charizard, but it's still just a solid deck that just works.
I mean, I think it just has, you're looking at the chart here, it has Tough matchup Charizard, tough matchup Giratina Lost Zone, and tough matchup Artina.
And Guardy.
Future?
No.
Not Future? No, you
Future hands farms Guardy.
Bro, I bodied Sebastian so fast the other night.
Well, yeah.
I mean, again, it's Iron Hands versus Guardy, and they don't have, and like everything they can KO you with.
Maddox Sebastian was talking smack, and he went, said, let's play games. So we played a game. He went the Klefki route, went turn one, catcher is his only Ralts.
Ouch.
I think if Guardy survives the first two turns with only getting peak acceleration and then hands, like,
I mean, if the Klefki sticks, I agree that it could, that does slow down the deck.
Yeah. Well, it's same thing against, like, you know, Maridons, like, you know, and back in the day, right? If they didn't get turned, like, you know, if you get turn one amped, you just lose.
Yes.
If you get turn two
amped,
you just lose. If you get turn two going second amp, you probably just lose because you're not set up enough still. Again, if you can survive the early onslaught, and then again, you know, again, if you have the counter catcher Iono just stick,
yep,
and your scream tail and just throwing damage, yep, everywhere, then yeah, you can claw back a win. I do think Future Hands playing vacuum makes it tough as well. But again, just not having the onboard draw says it's really down to, can you stick an Iono and can you get going fast enough to not lose before you can do that.
Yep.
Any changes you want to add here?
No, I think it's pretty decent. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, S tier is really, really strong plays. A tier is just, these are all decks that are really good and I think could win the event. B tier is also, I mean, again, a lot of viable decks right now. So just because we put a deck that you're thinking about in a lower tier, again, we've seen its success, right? You know, Tiago Metzing won on stream Ancient Box, right. Saw some top 16 finishes as well as won seniors. Raging Bolt, Sandy Shocks. If you got a cracked list, now's the time. Break it out for Orlando. Get it done.
Where's the Armorage?
Armor. Oh.
It's not there.
Just try Shark Cadet. Oh, Charmander. That's so cute. Now try that.
We should add this.
I mean, it's still in, like, lower than Arctina, I'd say, but it's still, like, good.
It's weird because, like, the best card in that deck rotated, but, like, it's good.
Am I missing it?
There you go.
I don't know. It's up here.
It's dang, didn't he want to get ranked? I'd probably say C tier, though.
Yeah, I just want to put it on there. Bruh. It's literally under here, so it's supposed to be down here.
You don't have time to trouble with me, Trainer Hill, on the pod.
I know.
It's fine.
Anyways, Arc Charcadet C tier play. I'm just trying to look at the rest of my stuff here. That's it. You know what we didn't hear about at EUIC? I'm looking at our old tier list. Mill was nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah.
There's one Tusker in day two.
There was one.
Well, also funny Mill story is that some Snorlax or some Pidgeot control decks were playing a patrol cap. So in the mirror, right, they'd start milling you, you'd start milling them, but then you'd start milling them wearing patrol cap, and they'd just be like, oh.
No cap.
Anyways, that's our thoughts for the Orlando Regional Championships, not International, Regional
Basically
Championships.
It's about the same size.
I mean, it's bigger, isn't it?
No, actually, they updated the numbers. So it's right now it's like 2,500.
Oh, it's not 2,900? Oh, okay.
Maybe if we have some late registrations and maybe it'll creep up. But I think we're just going to be a little bit smaller than UIC on TCG Masters, at least.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that's our thoughts for Orlando. Hope you guys enjoyed those thoughts. Good luck to everybody competing at Perth or the Orlando Regional Championships this weekend. Our next episode will be in 2 weeks. So we'll review all the results from Perth and Orlando. And we'll start to get you ready for Indianapolis. But yeah, you guys have any other thoughts about Orlando?
Have fun. Scrub out.
Have fun.
Yeah, good luck. Come say hi. All three of us will be there in Orlando. Come find us. Tell us if you're enjoying the pod. Tell us if you got feedback. You know, hang out. We got V-Star markers for you too. And yep. Yeah, just good luck to everyone going. and we'll see you there.
Parker will be winning Orlando, but you are welcome to get second place.
Yes, sir.
The reason why he's winning is because he hasn't played all season. So all of his luck has been like building up and building up. And
Get
then
that
he's going to
invite.
qualify for Hawaii and come with us to Hawaii. So
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to scoop to him in finals. It'll be fun. Okay. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for everyone for listening to this episode of the Beach Court Podcast. Until next time, have a good one.